Hey guys, it is my privilege this morning to introduce one of my dearest friends, Holly Beatenbow. I even wrote it down. Usually I would just talk, but I wrote it down because I could talk about her all day. So bear with me. I'm going to read some formal things, and I'm going to really tell you what I want to say. She is wife to Rick and a mom to James and Shannon. She serves as the ministry director for Beatenbow Companies, which have been around for about 23 years, and they've received numerous awards at the national level as well as the community level for all the quality and quantity of homes they provide and for the work they do and the service where they work and the communities that they live. She represents the company as a liaison, not only to the community, but also to other businesses. She equips businesses to learn to give through speaking engagements and also through training. She focuses on researching and investing in kingdom work and enhances marketplace ministry outreach and development. She also pursues her love of enriching others' lives by serving on numerous boards and doing lots of different community endeavors in our area as well as Midland, Odessa. She also travels around the world doing this as well, although she would be very humble and probably wouldn't mention that to you. I also just wanted to share with you, she's one of my dearest friends. The first time I heard her speak, I thought to myself that Christ's light just exudes from her, and it's somebody I might want to meet someday. And then the Lord worked it out that we've actually become very close friends. And she's one of those friends that sharpens me. She wants to help me to be better. She draws me closer to my Lord and Savior. And I just really hope that all of you have a friend like Holly in your life. And I hope that that friend does for you what Holly does for me. Now, Holly has come to our campus and spoken many times, but I would really need your help because this is going to be the interactive part of the program this morning, so you might want to look up from your phone because I wouldn't want you to be embarrassed that you're not participating in this particular part of the program. So I wanted this to be different. I wanted a little bit different way. So Holly, if you're game, Holly, come on up. So I need you all to stand up. And for those of you who have gone to the Leadership Summit with me in Colorado, you know what's coming. Because anytime we introduce a speaker, we're grateful they came to donate their time to invest in us. And we consider that they're a rock star. And you may not know this, but Holly Beatenbow is a rock star. She's an internationally known, and I'm not even kidding, she's a rock star in that she teaches companies how to do marketplace ministry. So for those of you who have not had the privilege to go to Colorado, this is how it works. You will basically make as much noise as possible and raise your hands and yell and scream as if we just beat Wayland or something. So I need your help to welcome my friend Holly Beatenbow with a rock star welcome. Let's go.
You guys are amazing. Thank you so much for welcoming me. Thank you for having me here. I can't even tell you guys, looking out all of the potential for the kingdom of God that is contained in this one room right now blows my mind. And as I was praying and preparing to come and share with y'all, I feel like the Lord gave me a very specific message for you. And so let's go to the Lord in prayer before I do this, because it's so important that our hearts are prepared to receive what he has for us this morning. So Lord, we thank you. We thank you that your mercies are new every day. I thank you for this campus that stands on your word. I thank you for this school that proudly displays your name and stands for everything that you stand for. Father, I just pray a blessing over this school, over the faculty, over the staff. They are such a gift to this community, and I thank you for them. And Lord, each one of these students that are here today, you're precious, precious ones. You know how many hairs are on every single one of their heads. That's how precious they are in your sight. And so, Father, the privilege that you have given me today to stand before them brings me to my knees. I thank you so much for their lives, and I thank you for this message that you have put in my heart specifically for them today. Lord, this is your time. This is your message. Have your way in it. Keep me from saying anything that's not of you, and allow me to speak every word that is from you. It's in Jesus' precious holy name I pray. Amen. In order to share this message with you this morning that the Lord has given specifically for you, I'm going to take you back to the Old Testament in 1 Samuel 16. I'm going to read to you for a little bit, but I'm going to need you to really pay attention because I'm going to draw back in my message for you into this scripture and pull pieces of it out. So, you ready? Okay. 1 Samuel 16. The Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you mourn for Saul, since I have rejected him as king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I'm sending you to Jesse, house of Bethlehem. I have chosen one of his sons to be king." But Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hears about it, he'll kill me." The Lord said, "Take a heifer with you and say, 'I have come to sacrifice to the Lord.' Invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what to do. You are to anoint for me the one I indicate." Samuel did what the Lord said. When he arrived at Bethlehem, the elders of the town trembled when they met him, and they asked, "Do you come in peace?" And Samuel replied, "Yes, in peace I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Consecrate yourselves and come to the sacrifice with me." Then he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. When they arrived, Samuel saw Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed stands here before the Lord." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things that people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." Okay, I know you've heard this story many times. It goes on. Jesse brings seven of his sons before Samuel, and Samuel says, "No, he's not chosen any one of these. Do you have any other sons?" And Samuel says, "Well, yeah, I've got my youngest one. He's out shepherding the sheep." And he says, "Well, bring him in here, because I know it's one of your sons, and the Lord hasn't chosen any one of these. We're not going to move until he arrives." And so he sends one of his brothers out to get David. He brings him in, and as soon as Samuel sees him, he knows this is the one. The Lord shows him, "This is the one. Anoint him. Make him king. He's my chosen." Okay, so just as the Lord sent Samuel that day to David to tell him, "You've been called from the Lord has sent me here for that same message today to you." So I want you all to stand up. Stand up for me. When we receive something, we have to have our hands open, right? Can we receive anything if our hands are closed? We can't, so let's open our hands. I know, this may be a little bit uncomfortable. It's what the Lord said, so let's do it, okay? You have been chosen by the King for great works that he planned far in advance, long, long ago, for you to do. You've been chosen. He's examined your heart, and he's chosen you. And he already has those works laid out for you. Now, after David, do y'all receive that? Do you receive that? Thank you, Jesus. Okay, you can sit down. After Samuel told David that, we know in the story what happens. David was sent right back out to the same pasture, to the same sheep, for what we think to be somewhere between 15 and 17 years, right? So, okay, great, I'm king, but I'm right back where I was, doing the ordinary, the routine, the mundane, the not glamorous things that are in front of me right here today. God put him in the pasture with the sheep who were in front of him right then, and his charge was care for these sheep, protect these sheep, make sure no harm comes to them. If you think about the word disciple, what is it closely related to? Discipline, right? Discipline and disciple. I mean, that's a bad word. We don't really love that word. We don't. But the Lord uses discipline in our lives to make us disciples, and that's what he did for David. David learned in that moment to fight the lion, to fight the bear. And David was faithful. He was faithful with the little things that the Lord put in front of him. And so then God entrusted him with more, which is in Luke, the scripture in Luke, about being faithful with little, you'll be entrusted with more. So your task, and it's all that's all God is asking of you. I remember being in your position in life and trying to envision 5, 10, 15 years down the road, trying to come up with some sort of a plan for it. People would ask me, what do you want to do? And I felt like I needed to have an answer to that. Does that resonate with any of you? Have you ever been there where you just feel like you got to have some things figured out? You don't. God is in control, and he has you today exactly where he needs you. And in the ordinary things of your day, doing your laundry, brushing your teeth, studying, doing your homework, setting aside quiet time to be with him, that's a huge discipline. We don't always feel like doing those things. We don't feel like doing those things, but it's the right thing to do. And it builds discipline in us, which makes us disciples. So the seemingly meaningless things that are before you today are not meaningless. If we don't understand that we're in training every day, and if we don't see all of these small things that are in front of us today as training from the Lord, assignments from him to steward well, to do with excellence, if we don't understand that, man, we can miss out. We can miss out on years of service to the Lord. So that's how we can be content. That's how we can be content today with the ordinary, routine, mundane things. When we do that, when we show up every single day and we do with excellence what the Lord has put in front of us to do, he is responsible for the increase. He will bring the increase. He will bring the opportunities. He will bring the open doors before you. And you'll recognize those doors being open and those doors being from the Lord. And then he'll show you. If you go back to Samuel, he didn't tell Samuel when he first called him, when he first said, put oil in your horn and go to the house of Jesse. He didn't say, find David, did he? He just said, go, do that thing, and then I'll show you what to do next. And that's the same message for us. If we do today with excellence what he puts before us today, he will bring us our path. And I'm telling you right now, I've lived a long time, 46 years, and I can tell you, your life and the plans that he has for your life are better than you can even dream about. I'm telling you, you can't even dream about the things that he has in store for you. You don't even know to dream them. And I'm telling you that I know that because it's my story. I grew up in Brownfield, Texas, a little farming community, never thought I would ever leave Brownfield, much less travel around the world. Never even dreamed that. And the Lord has put me in places and given me opportunities and allows me to do things every day that I could have never imagined or dreamed. And all I did every day was show up and do what he put in front of me and try to do it to the best of my ability. There were days I didn't, of course. We have off days, but he has grace and his mercies are new every day. So I just want to encourage y'all in that. Sometimes we feel like life is passing us by. We don't see these grand shooting star moments. I mean, for the longest time, those are the moments that I thought counted. Those are the moments that I thought I was supposed to be seeking after or making happen somehow. And the Lord over this time and over this seasoning in my life has just shown me it is the tiniest things, the smallest things in our day that are the closest to his heart and that mean the very most to him. And if we commit those things to him and keep our eyes on him and just do them with the best of our ability, you won't believe where he'll take you. So I want to pray a blessing over you before I go. Father, thank you so much for each and every one of these lives, Lord. I just get overwhelmed when I look at them because I can feel the love you have for them. Each one of them, you love them so much. I pray that they come into that understanding and knowledge of your love for them more and more every single day. And I pray that as they receive that from you, as they reject shame, as they reject all of the lies that the enemy would tell them about themselves, as they open themselves up to receive from you their identity in you, their true identity, that they will be set free and that the works that you have for them will come and you will be glorified. Lord, I thank you for them and I bless them today. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.